If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Juan Castillo, and I am here on the afternoon jam, you know, just talking to my man Mazio Parker. And he's going to be at on Saturday, this Saturday, October 15th, he's going to be at the Palmer Auditorium at Connecticut College. And I got him on the phone right now. How you doing, my brother?
I'm trying to hang, dude. Everything's great.
All right. Now, you might know Mazio Parker because, you know, he was involved with the James Brown Band and went on and did his own thing. But, you know, if you're going to talk to anybody about the funk, you got to talk to Mazio Parker. My brother, what does the funk mean to you?
funky music to me means it's time to party. It's time to be thankful for what you have and what you got, and the fact that you're still alive. So you party, and for me, the way you party and the music that you party to is the good old funky music.
Now, you know, the funk, you know, funk bands, you know, started to really, you know, become very, very popular in the late 70s and the 80s. James Brown is, you know, people talk about the fact that he came up with the funk, and I guess he started playing music on the one. Now, can you explain to the people what the one means?
Well, I'm not James Brown, first of all.
It wasn't James Brown. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You almost had the interview with him to find out what he wanted to make about the one. One is you know, you got it, bum, dum, ding, 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 bam, boom, bam, bam. That's a poem. Like that. One.
Okay.
Bang. That's fun. Is the one. I don't particularly go with that particular concept. I mean, I was in this group, you know, and we had what we had, true enough. He had to hear what he hears or heard, and, you know, same for me and same for everybody else. And since I was in this group, I sort of had to go along with that.
Okay.
It's two. It's almost like when we did Cold Sweat, the two was accented. It went boom, boom, and that's two. But for some reason, at the time, he came out with everything is on the one.
Okay.
So, you know, nobody's going to question it. So, you know, so there we have it.
Oh, okay. So now, hey, you're giving me an education here, my brother. So, yes, sir.
Say that again.
I said you're giving me an education right here, you know. So tell me about your career, you know. How did your career get started?
Well, my mother's brother had a group. And you know, we as kids, as little toddlers, we just when we were around music and musicians and people from church rehearsing scriptures at our home because we always, you know, had a piano. So music, you know, since day one, music has been a part of me and my brother's life. And it was no doubt that somehow we would come in music. Just like I said, since day one, it was something we had to listen to or play.
Right.
And because my mother's brother had a band, you know, we knew about orchestras and stuff like that, and you know, different kinds of instruments, you know, from 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 years old. And that loud stuff and all that, it was great as kids. You know, it's like, wow, this is great. And I did start on piano, and but I also remember being really, really excited about my first parade, you know, the outdoor parade and all the fanfare and stuff of the marching bands and all that. I mean, I remember going absolutely crazy. And I asked him, Mom, so where's the piano? No, piano's not a marching band instrument. You have to choose one of those horns. And it just happened that the saxophone line was coming past. So I said, well, maybe I can play one of those things, and that's how it all got started. But music styles, you know, somehow, you know, there's all kinds of different styles and all that jazz and blues and stuff from New Orleans and all that, you know, the Elvis Presley kind of rock and roll kind of stuff. Stuff coming from London, England, and you know, with the Beatles and all. But somehow I kind of could hear funky stuff somehow, funky rhythms. And that's what was on the top of the list for me to be able to play sort of a funky style. And you know, I started going with that.
So who gave you your first start? Talk about the first professional start. How did you get your first start?
Well, like I say, coming up, like before, during high school and college, you know, you always be in little groups. And if you mean after that, what happened after that, James Brown happened to play someplace in Carolina where my brother, who plays drums, he's actually a year younger than me, which means he was a year behind me, was playing at a after hours place. I'm trying to make this as short as I can. Anyway,
no, take your time.
We started playing again. We started playing, man, really, really, really early, because it was almost like I said, a family thing. But when we graduated from high school, I had to graduate before my brother, who's a year behind me. When I got into A&T in Greensboro, North Carolina, I got into a gig band there. Now, the second, I was in that band for a year. Second year, my brother comes, happens to come to the second, to the same school, but we can't play in the same band while we're in school. He gets into another group. And so now there's two different groups. Sometimes I sit in with him, sometimes he sit in with me. But James Brown comes to town, I'm playing out of state. He's playing, my brother Melvin is playing after our joint in Greensboro. James Brown's playing the Coliseum somewhere. James Brown finishes first, not ready to leave. Where can I go? You know, to have a little fun, chill out a little bit. Well, he just happened to go where my brother is playing, the after hours place. And he liked that little group that my brother was in, but he especially liked my brother to a point where he said, "You know what? Hey, man, I'm James Brown. I really would love to have you playing in my band. And I'm not saying I know you're a student. I'm not saying, you know, get out of school and come with me. But I am saying, you know, I like the way you play. It could be 2 years from now, 5 years from now. It doesn't matter. Sometimes I'd love to have you play with me. Oh, thanks, Mr. Brown. I appreciate it. Boom. Now, fast forward a year after then, the both of us decided to get out of school, and the both of us decided to try and get a job with James Brown. And then, so a year later, we're still in Greensboro, and James Brown playing again, and now, you know, we find him, and my brother has to take the lead, because he's met me a year earlier, and he said, "Oh, Mr. Brown, I remember me? I'm the drummer. I'm not in school anymore, and I'd love to have that job," like you said. "Oh, great. And, by the way, this is my brother. He's a saxophone player, and he needs a job, too." And somehow, that's how it all started, and that's how we got, you know, the job with James Brown. Cut it down, but that's pretty much how it all went.
This is Juan Castillo. I'm speaking with Mazio Parker, the legendary Mazio Parker. So now you left the James Brown band, you know, after some difficulties, to say the least. And tell me about what happened after that.
Well, we as a group decided to just gotta leave James for a while because we wanted some changes, and he wasn't ready to listen to that then at that point. And so the group was called. I actually wanted to leave on my own, but all the other guys were saying, "Well, no, Mr. If you leave, we want to leave too."
Yes.
But somehow it became Maceo and all the King's Men, and you know we were going around and having fun and all that. And that lasted for maybe a year or something before we decided to, you know, trickle back into James. I don't know if I played with George. George Clinton is in there somewhere. Right. But I may have gotten back with James. It all gets a little crowded now. You know, exactly how it unfolded and how it went. But because of the fact that he started calling my name and a lot of tunes way back then, that's really what it's almost like a neon sign or something in front of me, in front of my career. Oh man, that's Mayfield. Oh yes, Mayfield. Yeah, James, Mayfield, come on, brother, blah blah blah. And that's sort of what put it out there. And I think he realized that he didn't have that anymore, and he kind of needed it, I think. But, you know, you have to be on whatever page you're on and do what you do. And, you know, I'm
no.
But again, I've been lucky, man, you know, to still be able to... still be able to perform, you know. Now it's been a long, 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 long time, and I still love it. You know, I have a great, great band, and I know that I was really, really born to do exactly what I do, which is go around the world, you know, just playing music. And I mean, you know, people kind of, you know, get the niche and figure out what it is, and then say, you know what, I might want to change it. But for me, you know, I'm doing exactly now what I was born to do, and that's, you know, try to entertain people and put smiles on people's faces because you know, the way that we do it, and you know, make people feel good. Plus, I'm a people person anyway because I was born on Valentine's Day. You know, that Cupid love thing. I kind of picked that up too. The word love, I use that as a theme now. When we perform live, you hear me say more than once on behalf of all of us, we love you. I try to push love like Sandra Bullock pushes world peace.
Yes.
And you know, there's a lot of craziness happening throughout the world. And my take on that is all we have to do is just lift love up just a little higher, you know, and which means what exactly? Well, just a little bit more courtesy, you know. It's a little bit more. You don't have to be first all the time when you're out there on the highway. Just like open the door for the ladies, blah blah blah. Just a little bit more, you know, smile, good morning, this kind of thing. That's all it is, man. And that's just the way I feel. And again, I put it on the fact that I was born on Valentine's Day, and I've got a little Cuban guy, you know, we walk around and try to shoot the love arrow in everybody. And again, I can't help that, but that's, you know, so I play funky music, I try to entertain people, and I smile and try to promote love. That's me.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. Maceo Parker, this Saturday, October 15th, 8 o'clock at the Palm Auditorium at Connecticut College. Thank you so much, my brother.
It's a pleasure, man. Thank you.
And keep doing what you're doing. Take care.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.